In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. In the season after the Epiphany of our Lord, our Sunday scriptures are about the manifestation of God to humanity. Jesus was manifested as God's Messiah to the Magi, Gentiles, when they came to Bethlehem following a star, at the Jordan River when Jesus was baptized by John, and at the wedding in Cana when Jesus transformed water into wine. There are also preaching and healing and miracles and the transfiguration on the mountain. God is also manifested through the call to carry out the divine mission. Last week we read of God's call to Jeremiah. This week we read of God's call to Isaiah and the summons of Simon Peter, James, and John to follow him. And we hear Paul referring to his call to be an apostle. Soon we'll be reminded of God's call to Joseph, the son of Israel, and to Moses, the great lawgiver. And in each case, we see resistance or impediment to God's call. Joseph was left for dead and sold into slavery in Egypt, so how could God use him? Moses had a speech impediment, so how could he possibly go and tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go"? Jeremiah thought he was too young. Isaiah thought he was too guilty. Peter, James, and John were too sinful and fearful. And yet in each case, God promised to use these mortal, flawed, ordinary people for divine, world-changing purposes. The call, the resistance, the resources, and the resulting impact are described right there in the pages of the sacred text. And there are many others. Let's consider God's call together this morning. People often ask, how can I recognize God's call to me? It's a question of vocation. The word vocation is derived from the Latin root voca, as in voice. It means to call. There's so many voices crying out for our attention and our loyalty every day of our life. And so it's difficult to discern the voice of God, and therefore to know what God is calling us to do. The question about recognizing God's call when it comes may have to do with our overall life mission or with what God wants of us in a specific situation. There are several characteristics of vocation in these and many other biblical accounts where God's call comes to people and to their communities of faith. God's call is timely. Jesus begins his sermon in his hometown synagogue by saying, "The time is fulfilled." The kind of time he has in mind is kairos in the Greek, not chronos. Chronological time can be measured with watches and clocks and calendars and computers and other instruments. But kairos, God's time, the right time, cannot be measured so precisely. It's the time when the fruit is ripe or the baby is ready to be born. While God's call may come to us in many different ways, in many different places, it always comes at the right time. Jesus was speaking of the time when the old age of rebellion against God would cease and a new age would begin. He came at the right time in history. And God's call comes to you and to me at the right time in our personal histories and in the histories of our faith community. God's call is timely. God's call involves change. Jesus called people to turn, to repent. Repentance is change. Change usually involves turning away from the comfortable and the familiar and turning toward something different, maybe unfamiliar, maybe frightening. Change usually is something that we resist. Jesus went to a region in his ministry, a region that was different. And remember, that was a place where there were many Gentiles, people of a different race and faith. God's call can be a turning point for a person or for a community. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." How many generations of fishermen went before him in the family business there on the Sea of Galilee? How much did Simon Peter and his partners have invested in their boats and in their nets and in their gear? And yet the text says to us, when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. What's the next turn for you? What's the next turn for us? Well, whatever it may be, I promise you this, if you hear a call to remain exactly as you are, it's probably not God calling, because God's call involves change. God's call is imperative. Jesus' favorite words, repent, believe, follow, are not mere suggestions. His words convey the message that the time for action is now. I'm reminded of the story of a golfer whose ball landed atop an anthill. And in his attempt to avoid being stung by ants, his stance was clumsy, and with every swing, he would miss the ball and hit the anthill, scattering hundreds of the tiny creatures everywhere. Again and again, he swung at the ball, missed, and hit the anthill, and scattered the ants. And eventually, one of the ants said, "If we're going to survive, we're going to have to get on the ball." When we hear God's call, it's time for us to get on the ball. God's call is specific. Jesus is clear about what he wants of his followers. Hear, repent, believe, follow, preach, teach, baptize, pray, go. There's no ambiguity there. The response may involve a person's entire life or just a brief period. I heard God's call to enter into holy orders almost 53 years ago on Maundy Thursday, 1966. And by the grace of God, I've been able to pursue that vocation, that calling, for these years. It was a call for a lifetime and a specific kind of service. But there are other times when we're called to a short-term kind of thing. It could be a few moments or a few months or a few years. For example, Hurricane Katrina slammed into the Gulf Coast 13 and a half years ago. And most of you who were living in or near this area will still have vivid memories of the aftermath of that storm. After the storm, Episcopalians and other Christians and other people went to the coast from all across the country to help those who were hardest hit. For a few years, people set about doing some very specific things to help people in need who were the victims of that horrific storm. Christians didn't just volunteer. They went because they were responding to God's call, and that call, in that case, was specific. God's call includes reassurance. All of those that I mentioned earlier had a reason that they didn't think that they could answer the call. They weren't worthy, they were sinful, they were frightened, they were untimely born, they had persecuted the church. And in a moment, God reassured them, forgave them, and said, "Now here's what I need you to do." God does not call people to do something that they can do on their own or just whether they feel worthy or not. God calls people and provides the necessary resources and gifts and grace. And God calls people because God is worthy. God provides the means whereby the call can be fulfilled. Now, scouting, today's Scout Sunday, in case you hadn't noticed, scouting involves taking young people, putting obstacles in front of them, providing for them the information, the resources, the coaching, the encouragement, whatever they need to overcome those obstacles. And then they're acknowledged, their growth and their change and their progress in life is acknowledged through various ranks and badges and other awards. Imagine those first disciples there in those two boats. They didn't feel worthy. They were surprised because they'd been fishing all night and they hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus said, put out there and drop down your nets. And they had this big haul of fish. And then Jesus says, I'll make you fishers of people. From now on, I will make you fishers of people. If I'd have been one of them, I might have said, us? We're like sixth generation fishermen. We're not rabbis who can catch people with their wise teaching. We're just fishermen. In the baptismal covenant, we're asked about several different ways we will continue to answer God's call to us. And in each case, our answer is, I will, with God's help. That's an acknowledgement of the reassurance that we need to hear, as did those first disciples. God's call is accompanied by gifts that will be needed in order to be who we're called to be and to do what we're called to do. Ponder this. The things God calls us to do are humanly impossible. That is to say, we need God's help in order to do what God calls us to do. So if you feel called to do it all by yourself, it's probably not God calling. God's call is consistent. We believe in Christian counsel. That means we explore our vocations together so that we can be sure that the voice we are hearing is God's voice. We allow ourselves to be held accountable to our Christian sisters and brothers as we discern God's will, God's yearning for us, so that we can align our lives, our words, and our action with that divine yearning of God. If you believe you're called to do something that is inconsistent with the ways of God as revealed in Scripture, tradition, reason, or experience, it's probably not God calling. God's call is persistent. As we follow the trajectory of the journey of Jesus and his disciples, we see that he was constantly attuned to God's call to him, not just one day, but throughout every day. And that call of God was persistent. And thus, he persisted in his messianic mission, despite obstacles, and even capital punishment, death, and the grave. And then came the resurrection. St. Paul says it was in accordance with the Scriptures. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's persistent, generations-long message of hope and life. Last Sunday afternoon, I attended a court of honor in which seven of Troop 1's scouts were presented with the Eagle Scout emblem. Among other things, that badge represents persistence. The persistence of those seven young men in the face of fear, through feelings of inadequacy, learning to use a map and compass to find their way, figuring out how to paddle a canoe so you can shoot the rapids with it, rappelling down a cliff trying to stay warm and dry in a tent, in a cold, wet winter night, they persisted. Maybe the other 99% didn't, but they did. And so from now on, they are Eagle Scouts. But they didn't do it alone. they were a part of a larger body of persistence. The persistence of parents and family and leaders and fellow scouts and mentors and teachers and other people in their lives, all of whom persisted in encouraging the scouts onward toward their objectives, using the resources they've been given to overcome obstacles in their path. And it's like that with God's call to us. God never stops trying to get our attention and never stops encouraging us and providing us with divine resources to go on from now on, said Jesus. God's call is persistent. So keep listening, keep your ears open, your eyes open, and all your senses. And when the call comes, recognize it, receive it as a gift, and let God's grace motivate you to drop everything and go. The ongoing expression of God's call to us is in this banquet. Week by week, we practice getting up and going as we approach the altar and as we're sent back out into the world. It is also the communion of those who are willing, in spite of circumstances or limitations or inner resistance, to be open to that call when it comes and to receive the grace of God that is necessary to fulfill that call to the honor of God and for the sake of the world for which Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again. Amen.